Chapter 15, The Celebration. A message scrolled across Evan's screen. Check out these model homes. He was finishing off an assignment in the Biosphere Library when his dad's email came to his attention. There are only 5 houses left for sale. You'd be a 10-minute walk away from us, and Serenity Street backs onto a 30-acre green space. However, it was not the opportunity to purchase a house in the coveted area near his parents, but the model homes themselves, which drew Evan wide-eyed to examine the link more closely. On the website, the large display of miniature model homes lining a fabricated street set Evan's imagination on fire. He'd never seen model homes quite like these. Hinge fronts lifted up to reveal perfectly crafted rooms with open windows, stairs, decorated rooms, and flooring. Everything that made a home attractive and livable.
Are they big enough for the tinies? He wondered with astonishment.
Even if they were, he told himself, tinies have wooden homes which they enjoyed building themselves. There is no need for something so extravagant. No need at all. However, he couldn't resist forwarding the link to the professor with a little message. Think they'd fit if they were for sale? A voice from behind startled him. Hey, do you want to go out for a hot coffee or hot chocolate? Evan looked up from his computer to see Jim standing nearby with a hopeful expression. They had been friends since the first year of university. As the monkeys chattered away nearby, competing with the noisy Molly Macaw, Evan replied, Sorry, buddy, I have an important meeting with Professor Lamans. Disappointed, Jim replied, You've had enough meetings to plan a world takeover. We're still working on that research project, Evan explained, closing the lid of his computer and standing up. He put his arm around his friend's shoulders. Look, I'd love to get together with you and have a catch-up soon, maybe next week?
It's always next week, his friend grumbled as they walked out of the library and passed the sloth hanging lazily from a tree.
Curiously, Jim asked, When are you going to tell everyone about this project? Possibly in less than a year from now, Evan smiled, trying to speak above the noise of the howler monkeys. It's going well. We just have a few more things to work out. You'll be one of the first to know, I'm sure. Jim asked him to repeat himself as the monkeys took a short reprieve from the chorus. I hope it's soon, Jim nodded. Rumor has it that you're building a virtual reality interactive 3D jungle world. That would be so cool.
Evan smiled. It would, he agreed,
as they stopped by the main glass doors. Tall, high, and tinted blue, the doors framed the young deciduous forest lining the winding pathway outside. The remaining red, orange, and yellow leaves were blowing off the trees and whirling around. A dark storm was blowing in. Opening the door for his friend, Evan thanked him for stopping by. See ya, Jim called out as he exited the building. Crisp, cool autumn air enveloped Evan as he waved goodbye and closed the door. Then he quickly dashed down the hall to meet the professor. The thank you celebration was beginning in 5 minutes, and he didn't want to miss a thing. As always, when he turned the corner and came to Mirror Hall, he looked in all directions to be sure no one was watching. Usually by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the biosphere was closed to the university students, and only Tim, the maintenance man, remained behind. However, a student was still wandering through the rainforest exhibits, so Evan waited, checking his messages as a cover for standing still. There was a message from his parents wondering if he'd seen the email they had sent about the houses for sale. He replied, yes. After answering his parents, Evan also took the opportunity to catch up with some students who had started a group chat about investigating the breeding possibilities between black bears and polar bears in the Arctic biome. This would provide a good opportunity for genetic research, Evan texted in agreement.
We're safe, a voice chuckled.
With a start, Evan looked up. Professor Lamans was standing beside him and the student had disappeared. Quickly pressing the green arrow on his cell phone, Evan and the professor were immediately lowered into the tunnel shaft. How was your day, Professor?
Good enough until the last hour.
What happened?
You know that red-headed kid in first year? You mean Seth McGeorge?
You do know him.
I tutor him, sir.
Well, I suppose you know he's a creationist?
I do.
So he's always questioning everything I say about the evolution of man and how life began. Today he wanted to know why I didn't believe in a god.
And what did you say?
I gave him many reasons, mostly from the scientific viewpoint and the research that has been done.
Wouldn't you know it, he didn't seem moved by anything I said. Finally, I asked if he'd read my book, and he hadn't. With a chuckle, he added, so I insisted he read it before he asked any more questions. Passing by the empty nursery rooms, Evan felt somewhat emboldened by Seth's questioning. If you don't mind me asking, he said, why is it that you don't see any evidence of intelligent design? Professor looked surprised. Are you on Seth's side? Evan shook his head and sighed. I just wonder, that's all. I like to keep an open mind. Well, I'll give you one simple explanation, the professor replied.
There can't be a god, or he wouldn't allow so many senseless tragedies to take place on Earth. Think about it, Evan. Think about how much we care for paradise.
We'd do anything to keep our tiny safe. We don't want to lose even one. We would never willingly generate tidal waves to wipe them all out or introduce disease. For a moment, the professor paused, reflecting on the mishaps that had occurred. We have had a few close calls in paradise, he admitted, but certainly nothing we would instigate. If there is a god, then how can he allow so much suffering? How can he be paying any attention to what is going on in the earth? True, Evan agreed timidly, but most of the time the world functions incredibly well. All it takes is one catastrophe, and that's enough to prove that God can't exist, the professor argued. If he is really all-powerful, why would he allow any hurricanes or volcanoes or tsunamis or massive flooding or famine or... I guess so, Evan nodded uncertainly. If there is a supernatural God with power, then he should be able to stop those things from happening. If he wanted to. The professor glanced over with a frown. His voice was almost fierce. And why wouldn't he want to?
I don't know, Evan faltered, but unless suffering has a purpose, maybe some good comes from it.
Having sensed on a few occasions a personal vendetta in the professor's rants, Evan looked over compassionately. Sir, you seem to have experienced some suffering in your own life. The professor didn't answer, but Evan noticed his clenched fists and the dark, brooding look in his brown eyes. As they entered the office, the conversation didn't continue. It was time for the celebration to begin. It was only about 5:30 in the afternoon, but due to the approaching storm outside, it was fairly dark in the Paradise Room. They drew close to the dome. Ooh la la, look what they've done with the solar lights we sent in, Professor Lemans whispered, very impressed. The beach area had been lit up with twinkle lights, strung in trees that lined the beach. The reflection of the light shimmered in the water. While the professor and Evan had been in class, Louis and his team of tinies had woven the 2 meters of lights and cable in and out of the trees. They had created a lighted pathway up Rainbow Hill and encircled the plateau clearing where the festivities were to take place. The on and off switch was positioned close to the clearing.
Paradise looks beautiful tonight, Evan said quietly. I love the lights.
I sent in new clothes and glow sticks as well, the professor told him with a smile. Evan chuckled. He knew how much the professor enjoyed sending in gifts. And look at those swim shorts, the professor whispered, pointing to the beach boys. I had them custom made. The beach boys were leaning on their surfboards, clad only in their new shorts, which were entirely free of ribbons and fringes. Waiting impatiently for the signal to begin the show, their voices were clearly discernible from the speakers that hung on the wall.
I don't see why we have to wait so long, Damien was saying. Yeah, let's get on with the show, France muttered.
I don't see anyone watching us from above, Lemit chuckled, flinging out one long black arm.
I think Uncle Louis is telling us stories.
He's just trying to motivate us to do something that he wants us to do. France laughed. Why do you still call him Uncle? I just call him Louis. Damien was thinking about Lehman's comment, and he agreed. A mastermind sounds kind of scary and powerful, he pondered. Maybe it is just a story.
Come on, let's get on with the show, Lehman said impatiently.
I think the whole professor thing is just made up, France snickered. The professor and Evan shared a look of amusement. Maybe, Damien pondered. We did used to see Big Evan in the nursery, but I've never seen any professor. Looking over at Evan with a twinkle in his eyes, the professor whispered, I should just get up in my lift pod right now and look in through the top. He chuckled. Then they'd know. Evan grinned. Can you imagine their reaction? A smile crept across the professor's face as he thought through the whole scenario. even though he had no intentions of carrying it out. It would alter the experiment significantly, he mused. If they knew they were being watched, they wouldn't feel free to be themselves. They would feel stressed. Evan nodded. Or they might stay indoors all day where they couldn't be seen. Franz was still complaining. Yeah, whatever happened to Evan? He grumbled. Why don't we see or hear from him anymore? He used to check on us every day. Evan smiled sadly, wishing he could still interact. Then he noticed movement in the meadow. Look, he whispered. There's action by the schoolhouse. Suddenly, four children ran out from the school, waving colored glow sticks and shouting, Thank you for paradise! Together, they sang a cute, brand new song, while Georgia and Kenzie kept the beat with their newly made shakers and cymbals. The children repeated their happy song while the Beach Boys rode the waves, managing to stay on their boards for an average of 9 seconds each. The professor laughed and clapped softly. Evan took pictures, although in the dim lighting, he was having trouble capturing good ones. The Beach Boys are learning to surf, the professor whispered. I'm glad to see they are developing their skills. The Chinese on the shoreline held their glow sticks high and began running towards Rainbow Hill. Looking in that direction, the professor noticed a sudden glow of color lighting up the clearing. On that high edge of the hill, the rest of the children could now be seen standing in a colorful heart shape with their lighted glow sticks. Amy and Zaheer were in the middle. I love it, the professor said out loud. Evan looked at him sideways, wondering if his voice would be heard. At that moment, Amy began to sing from the hilltop. Her voice rang out clearly across the water. Moving around the dome to a place where they could view the singers more clearly, the professor and Evan eagerly leaned forward. Tall and slim, Amy looked lovely in the new shimmering white fairy petal dress that was only slightly too big. It had long iridescent gauze ribbons that hung from her waist and shoulders. Dark and handsome, Zaheer stood near her, looking quite dapper in his flowing white shirt, ribbon-trimmed vest, and new suspender shorts. Fredo sat close by. They had tied a few red and pink ribbons around the dog's neck. A white ribbon had also been used to pull back Zaheer's hair. Boys always had a good supply of ribbons they had torn off their clothes. Having found a low-light setting on his phone, Evan managed to capture a great picture of the scene. He turned on his video.
Thank you, thank you, thank you,
were the first lines of the song. Amy sang softly, looking up to the sky with outreached arms. With a sideways glance, Evan could see a smile spreading across Professor's face. Zaheer stepped forward and repeated the lyrics with the same earnest tone. Evan had never heard Zaheer sing before. Wow, he has a good voice, he whispered. Quite a well-matched pair, the professor agreed proudly. Privately, he had high hopes that their relationship would blossom in the future.
We thank you for all that you do,
they both sang together.
We love the flowers and the fruit from the seeds we sow.
Sudden uncomfortable thought flitted across Evan's mind. This is almost like worship, he thought to himself.
We thank you for stocking our store,
Zaheer added, his voice cracking a little. With only a slight hesitation and glance in Amy's direction, he sang,
Every day the train brings more. Professor, you've given us everything,
Zaheer praised, kneeling down to embrace his favorite dog, for whom he was very thankful.
We're so happy here that we want to sing.
The professor coughed softly. Evan turned and saw there were tears in his eyes. Continuing to record the scene on his phone, he put his free arm around the older man's shoulders.
So thank you, thank you, thank you,
Amy softly ended the pretty song. In even softer tones, Zaheer echoed,
So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Then together with Louie, everyone on the mountain raised their arms and said, We love you, thank you for paradise. Unexpectedly, the professor turned to Evan, choked up with emotion. He couldn't say anything. Hey, it's all been worth it, Evan told him, patting him on the back. And not really knowing what to say or do, he thought to himself, do believe objectivity may have just come to an end. Clearing his throat, Evan said, Never mind the doubting Beach Boys. You've got a very thankful group of Tinies who love you. It took some time for the professor to gain his composure. He stood by the dome, leaning against the glass, unable to talk. Together they watched Uncle Louis present the special awards he had sent in for the unsuspecting heroes. Calling Odin and Pontsy to stand before all the others, Uncle Louis reflected on the brave response of the two boys in the face of danger. "Here in paradise," he continued, "we rarely see danger or have to save one another. So today we celebrate our two heroes who did just that and fought the frightening, dangerous spider which trapped Rosa and Lily. We admire your courage and your willingness to help your fellow Tinies. Thank you, Pontsy and Odin." Everyone cheered and clapped. The epic tale had been told so many times that it was now remembered as the most exciting event in the history of paradise. Pontsy and Odin stood tall, receiving the praise and applause as proper heroes. Their eyes lit up when Uncle Louis brought forward two dark blue flags with golden writing. In big letters on each flag was the word, "Courage." From outside the dome, Evan nodded with a smile. "It's so good to see those boys being rewarded for their bravery."
Without a word, the professor agreed. He was still emotional.
Watching the boys admire their flags, Evan saw Rosa and Lily come over to give them hugs. He remarked, "I believe the spider battle was a turning point for those two. A little praise and recognition for their courage may be just what they needed." Again, the professor nodded. Inside, the farmers involved in growing produce handed out fruit and vegetables to the others. Those who had been mining in the hills gave out pretty colored beads they had found. Nancy and Milan, the bread makers, doled out buns. Even the beach boys contributed by handing everyone a paper invitation to come for a surfing lesson. It wasn't until the feasting had ended and Louis was organizing a group game of Storm the Lantern on Rainbow Hill that the professor was able to get himself together.
"That was magnifique," he said quietly. "It was very impressive," Evan whispered.
"It topped any award I've ever received," the professor confided. "Really? Even Scientist of the Year?" "Even that. This had something that all the others lacked." "What was that?" "That song came from their hearts," he said emotionally. "It was real. It was beautiful." Struggling to find words to express his feelings, he just shook his head and looked at his phone. There was another reason he felt emotional, but he wasn't quite ready to share it. In a quiet voice, he said, "It's nearly 7. We better get home. You need your dinner." Evan laughed softly. "Why don't we go out and celebrate with some Chinese food?" "Thanks for the offer," the professor nodded. I just feel drained. I need to go home." Patting his mentor on the back, Evan whispered, "Congratulations, Professor Lemans. Go home and remember all the thankful hearts that praised you tonight." Nodding, the professor smiled. "I will," he promised, opening the door to the tunnel that led out to the parking lot. "Do you mind if I stay here a little longer and watch the game?" Evan inquired. No, go ahead. I'll see you in the morning." Evan stayed for another hour, watching the Tinies play their games. He wished he could join in. As he watched the youths hide in various places in the forest and two boys sneak up the hill hoping to touch the glow stick before Uncle Louis noticed them, he pondered the professor's emotional response to the captivating celebration. Both of them had given up everything to work on this project. They had lost friendships and used up limited resources. Still in his late 20s, Evan hoped that one day, when he'd completed his doctorate, he might get to enjoy closer relationships once again. Maybe he'd find a wife and have a family. Maybe he'd even buy a house near his parents. But, he considered, the professor has no one. He's in his 50s. Why is he all alone? Why is he giving his whole life to this? Evan sighed, feeling another twinge of conscience. "I sure hope we've done the right thing," he mused, as the worship song niggled at his conscience. "I feel like we're playing God. This is sort of our world that we've created, but in reality, we haven't created anything. We've only manipulated life." Noticing the beach boys wandering back to the lake, Evan listened to their voices, which were always well reflected off the surface of the water. "That game was cool," Franz admitted. "And I got a stash of buns," Lima bragged. "Should keep us going for the next couple days." Franz opened his bag to show the others and laughed. "And I got some cherries." Damien popped his hand in to grab a few cherries, eating them straight away. "Yum," he said. Franz quickly closed the bag up. Passing by the mango trees, Damien sniffed one of the ripening fruits. I'm keeping my eyes and nose on these mangoes, he remarked mischievously. They smell awesome. You might have to catch 20 fish for one of those, Lima taunted. Even though there were 5 mango trees in the orchard, none had produced more than 2 fruits. Charlie is guarding them like they are the most precious thing in the orchard. Damien laughed. Fran suddenly changed the subject. That celebration tonight was dumb, he quipped. No one was listening. There were some strange sounds, Damien reflected. I heard muffled noises. I didn't hear anything, Franz retorted as they reached their hammocks. He pushed his long, stringy hair out of his eyes. This hair is driving me crazy. Shaking back his lengthy golden waves, Damien agreed. Mine too. Glad that I don't have that problem, Lima laughed, rubbing his tight afro. Climbing into his hammock, he added, But you know, Zahir also said he heard funny noises. Maybe the animals were reacting to all the lights and songs. They aren't used to them. I hope they turn those lights off soon, France complained. It's way too bright to sleep. I'm turning them off, Damien declared. I know where the switch is. And with that, he dashed up the path which led up Rainbow Hill. Evan on the other side of the glass took mental note. We certainly can be heard on this side, he said to himself, pulling out his phone to text. I have to let the professor know. And I should ask him if he has ordered those tiny scissors. Those boys really do need haircuts.